You're listening to the first NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast for 2015. We're the traders. We're excited. The prices are in. It's rock and roll. Welcome to the show. I'm Roy. I coach Destroy, and I'm here with Warnie.
Coach of the Wanderers.
And Calvin.
Coach of the Calvinators, and I am excited, Roy.
Fever pitch excitement.
Woo! Well, I'm just hoping I don't have too much of a premiership hangover. You guys are still chasing that.
It's a new year for everyone, and we're all on an even playing field.
I know.
We've all got our $10 million to begin with.
Yes.
And we've all got our squad of 30 to pick.
Yes.
And I already think mine's better than yours.
Well, I still feel like I'm looking down on you guys. I'm right up there at the top.
We have all of the teams and their prices and positions and all of that in. And so this is going to be the start of a thumping podcast of, yeah, let's look at them. Well, let's start off with your boys, Calvin.
Let's go.
The Crows.
They are my boys, fellas. And I tell you what, there are some juicy fantasy options with the Crows this year.
I have noticed they are a little bit relevant this year, aren't they?
Oh, they're relevant every year.
A little bit relevant. There are some bargains.
There are.
I reckon we'll kick off with the biggest bargain of them all. I think Nathan Van Berlo.
Agree. He is massively underpriced. He's 272, and you can pick him in your midfield. Has the potential, of course, to average 80+.
Well, he's done that multiple times in his career, hasn't he? But I have heard the doubters in the fantasy footy circles.
There are a few.
There's a lot talking about his tagging role.
Yes.
The year before he got injured, he dropped off a fair bit, largely due to that tagging role. Why won't he just play like that again?
Well, Kerridge is the tagger. He did the tagging last year for the Crows, of course.
Now, did he do all right at it?
Well, that's...
Because that's the thing, if you do all right at it,
he was actually all right. As the year went on, I think he got better. So I think that he will get the job. I don't think Van Berlo will. A couple of other juicy options there as well. Your boy, Brody Smith-Roy.
Wow, he was a roller coaster for me last year.
Yep.
I'd fly high, I'd be fist pumping with his 130s, and I'd be tearing my hair out with his 30s. I don't know. I think his potential, though, this year...
Well, the big question is he going to be a top six defender, Dog?
I think he will be, and he showed the potential last year to be that. There were some of those hair-tearing-out games. However...
Didn't he score 26 in a game?
I was only one where I needed about a 50 from
right.
him. Yes, he did. But the thing is, I think he's going to be pushing up to the wing more. Those really bad games he had real lockdown roles.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be doing that... This year.
Like everyone, he's training with a midfield group at the moment. So.
I'm training with a midfield group.
And he's training the house down.
Oh,
so
what?
I think he's a certain improver, I think, off that last year. And that should put him in that top six defenders, especially when we've lost so many, which I'm sure we'll talk about as the podcast goes on. Anyone else?
Look, if you're throwing around rookie names, you've got to look at a guy called Rory Atkins. He's mature age. We all love them. Mature age. He's in the midfield, 120K, so his bargain basement price. And he averaged about 70 in the Sanafu.
In the Sanafu.
Oh, yes.
One last guy I want to mention from Adelaide, because I think in a few years we'll be nominating this guy as a fantasy pig.
Ooh. Yep.
Brad Crouch.
Yes.
Third year breakout, maybe.
Magnet.
And
absolute ball magnet.
Imagine like two brothers in the pen.
Yeah, I don't think Matt's as good as Brad, but...
Brad's gone back-to-back 90, hasn't he, averages?
Yep. Yes, he has.
He could go 100.
Easily.
Definitely.
You got to go higher than that to get a pig status, though, Roy.
Warning, ladies and gentlemen, it is man crush time. It is Brisbane Lions. Roy, who thinks that this is his second team.
He's blushing.
He is.
I am blushing.
Roy.
Because they're my first team.
But they are your first team.
No,
tell Mick Mouldhouse that. Now, Roy, we are looking at the Lions, and you are a big fan of them, as we all are, and they are potentially one of the most fantasy-relevant teams of the year.
Yes, well, they do have me excited, which sounds silly after that stupid intro you just gave me, but the Gabba is an absolute pig pen.
It is,
and
Roy.
Some of the pigs are underpriced. Well, I think... they are close to being pigs anyway. And the person I'm talking about is Dane Beams, who has been a nominee in the past. Now, he has averaged, you know, over 110,
easy,
which puts him in that elite premium category. So he's done that before. He is slightly underpriced after injury kept him back a little bit this year. What do you think he is going to do at the Gabba?
He's going to link up with Rocky and Hanley like you will not believe.
He's going to be good because he was cheap last year. We all picked him and we're all pretty happy with him. But probably he was still just a little bit below his absolute best, and I think he can get to that this year.
For part of the year, he was at his best, wasn't he? Remember, he was early. Averaging 115.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's going to do as a Lion.
It's going to be around that mark, the 115, 116 mark, if you want to get exact.
All right. Someone better mention the elephant in the room. The reason it's a pig pen is because Tom Rockliffe, the big man, the man with the big bucks next to his name, 763000. It is a world record price.
It's a big number.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's ridiculous. And it's a big number because of that big number that he averaged last year.
Well, 134.8. World record.
Unbelievable.
All right, let's just go around. Are we actually starting with this bloke who cost nearly $1 million? Warndog?
No. Oh, it's just so much money.
Yeah.
And I have a play with my team and see what it looks like by having him in there and that extra...
It does look good.
100 or 150 grand that could go on top of someone else that's actually on my ground. That's the thing that I look at and go, this bloke's no good.
Now, for me, it's a no as well. Exact same reasons. But Roy, what are you going to do?
Of course I'm going to pick him. How can you afford not to have him? That is what I'm going to say all preseason. How can you afford not to have him?
Well, I've got another guy you can afford, you cannot afford to have. Does that make sense? Daniel Rich.
Oh, bargain.
Rich in name, not in price.
Wow.
That's not bad.
I really love him. He's he's coming back from a knee injury.
He is.
And he's quite cheap. Pretty much because he missed a hell of a lot of games, but also for the fact that he, you know, he's getting that discount and he wasn't at his best when he did get injured. So his price is actually, his discount comes off an average that wasn't even anywhere near what he's actually capable of. Yep. Now, he's not a supreme fantasy player.
No, no.
There's a fair bit about him that I don't think, you know, we're not walking him up. I don't think in any conversation we would have that would be trying to upgrade to him or anything at his best or anything like that. Because that's probably mid-80s, 90, probably 95 in an absolute stretch of what he can do.
Yeah.
Rebounding defender, though, that was the sort of role that he was playing. And that might be quite nice for him, especially with those big boys in the midfield.
Yeah, certainly. Now, he averaged over 80 for 2 years in a row, right, Daniel Rich? And then that year where he was well down, he copped that tag every week. So he played like 16 games and he was tagged in 11 of those.
Yeah, right.
And he could not score.
Well, that's not going to happen anymore.
Exactly. He is so far down the line for a tag that I think he could actually push that 90, whether it's this year or next year. Yeah, definitely.
Value for money.
Now, the last person I want to talk about from the Lions is, I think, 90% of teams are going to start with him in the ruck. Matthew Lomberger is back, and, you know, for 277, how can you not
you have
pick him?
To.
Yeah, there's a bit to think about. Like, he's just so cheap that we need to pick him, and someone that has scored so highly in the past. There is the Stephen Martin factor.
There is.
And Stephen Martin, he's the third most expensive player in the competition.
That's a lot.
Because of his thumping year last year, and I don't think any of us should be starting him. One, I don't think he's going to average 112 again.
What do you think he's going to average?
He's capable of going in the 90s, but there's just so many question marks. But me even saying that, 90s is not enough to start him.
It's
and
too
then
much,
is he going to be the best at the end of the season? I don't think so.
Oh, I love that song. And of course, they're still my boys. Yes, I get frustrated with them, but they are my boys. Now, the first boy that I would like to talk about is another ruckman and potentially making up the most popular ruck department to start the season with Matthew Lomberger is Matthew Cruiser at 244. Now, he has been on the verge of lifting his game to that elite ruckman category a couple of times. I think I am very comfortable locking him in. What do you guys think?
100%. I've been a huge fan of the K-Dog. I've started him.
You used to pay top dollar for him.
And he was good until he got injured.
Yeah,
and I think that's a big question mark.
If he can stay fit, he can average that 90 mark.
You sent me a picture of Cruiser the other day suggesting he wasn't fit.
He just needs to shed a couple of kgs from what I saw at preseason training.
Yep.
But once he does that, a 90 is definitely not out of the question.
Yeah, he's a number one ruckman.
Yep.
He is endurance machine. I think this is the year he is going to make it well worthwhile picking him up early.
You could stick with him for quite a while too, I reckon, and it could even be a whole season keeper. But the thing about that combo, so any special names for the Cruisenberger combo or
I've
something?
I've thrown out like a two-way mat attack. That's something that I've just thrown out there on the slide.
Mat attack.
But I'm
it's not going to catch him.
No.
I like Cruisenberger. Yeah. I don't know. That's still a bit... Someone else come up with something. Send us a tweet at AFL Fantasy and let us know what you want to call your ruck combo. But yeah, I think that's going to be... It's going to free up enough dollars around your ground, which is going to be important. So starting with those guys, that's a great thing.
Look, other than Cruiser, you're scraping the Colton barrel, Roy, to find someone I think that is relevant. But the only one that I can see is probably, as a forward, would be Dale Thomas, priced at an average of 76.
Yeah, do you know what? He is interesting because from all reports, he is over that ankle injury that obviously hampered him in his debut season with the Blues. But what I liked about him, in his third last and second last game last year, he went really big with 115 and 124 before then getting injured again in that next game. But he was back. He was just getting open for marks, getting a heap of the ball. I really liked what I saw. So he's someone I'll definitely be looking to see what he looks like during the preseason.
So it sounded like Carlton were pretty unlucky, Roy, last year with a lot of injuries.
They were.
I'll just throw one out there just for your preseason watch list. Make sure that you keep your eye on Patrick Cripps, $163,000. If he can make a presence in their team come round one, I'm on board.
Everybody stand up. Put your hands together. I want to hear some clapping because our first pig, Dane Swan, is now a Ford.
It's amazing. Wow.
It's great news.
It's fantastic news.
But I was picking him anyway, and I don't think everyone was going to pick him just as a straight mid.
I guess that is a disappointing thing because if you think the pig was going to get back to anywhere near what he was going to do by picking him at the start, Warn, you're right, that could have been a unique pig and an absolute bargain. But everyone, surely, who doesn't have him, actually?
I'm making
who doesn't have him as a
my forward? First big call of the season. He will be, when the round one lockout finishes, we'll look up and he'll be the most popular player of the year.
Wow.
Am I right?
Ahead of Cruiser?
Yes.
And Leuenberger?
Yes.
Lots of people always pick Ablett too.
Well, it's more popular than him. I will put it out there and I'll say he'll be at least 30% more popular than Ablett now.
That's a massive, ridiculous call. Rightio. Now, let's not forget that Dane Swan.
Take that one back.
Dane Swan is priced at an average of 94, which is a shadow of what the man is capable of. You don't get a pig status scoring an average of 94, do you?
No.
He's better than that.
He nearly lost it.
In the five seasons leading up to last year, he hadn't dropped under an average of 117, if you don't mind. That's ridiculous.
That's a, say that again. Make people compute that. Because
in the last five seasons leading up to last, he has not dropped below an average of 117.5 points per game.
Wow. No wonder he's a pig.
Exactly. That is ridiculous.
That is too greedy.
we talk about other elite players striving for that 110 or milk yourself to get to that 115. goes and averages 117.
Now, it's not the pig show. Right, let's move on. Hang on, kind of other players.
Before we do, what will he average this year? What do you think he's going to do? Is he, well, first question, will he be the highest scoring forward of
the
season?
Without doubt, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Without doubt. What do you think he can average, Calvin?
110.
Roy?
111.
Wow.
You?
Well, I was going to be a little bit soft and say 105.
Oh.
But still, that's huge.
That's ridiculous. Haven't you
heard, that'll still be enough.
Have you heard what he's been doing in the preseason?
Oh. Training the house down.
Wow. Yes, exactly.
Now, a couple other guys I want to have a quick discussion about. Steel Sidebottom versus Scott Pendlebury. Both around the same price. Only $2,000 separate them. Both, obviously, Pendlebury, Mr. Reliable, and Steel Sidebottom ripped it apart last year.
He had some awesome games last year too, and he was one of those premium options that a lot of guys were bringing in because he was just doing it week in, week out.
Running hot, wasn't he? I'm leaning towards, I don't know if this is just a bit of a trying to be a try-hard new age fantasy guy, but I'm leaning towards Steel.
Same.
He just seems to get so much less attention than Pendles.
I think I think we need to almost adapt our games. We've got a bit old school lately and going the Pendlebury option, but
yeah, it is old school. Just before we go, Dog, do you have a bit of a cheapie there for us just before we nick off? A
couple of guys that are cheap. Probably the biggest one that people will be looking at is Nathan Freeman. He went pick 10 back in 2013 draft, so injured last year. He was a pretty big ball winner during the TAC Cup. 89 was his average across the season there. He is, again, getting good reports about his training.
Oh, what?
So I think that's a good thing. So I think Nathan Freeman's probably your bargain. Definitely watching through the NAB. If he's named round one, lock and low. See the Bombers fly. The Bombers. Now, we got a bit excited there about Swanee gaining Ford status, but there's another guy that's worth considering with Ford status.
Who's
not
it?
Just considering, locking in, and that's Brendan Goddard. He used to be a dual position guy, but that was a defender mid.
Yep.
Now he's a forward mid. So he's been in our teams, even Calvin. Last year, you spent a bit of time with Goddard in your side.
Oh, look, and for 2 weeks, thoroughly enjoyed it. Until he got injured.
He started the year like a house on fire, didn't he?
He did.
He averaged 106 in the first 11 last year.
Yeah,
so that's
nasty.
A huge start. Had a bit of an injury in there, I think. Those sorts of numbers, he got really cheap, so he became an option.
Mm.
Probably a little bit of a frustration with some suspension and stuff as well. But I think, as a forward, is he going to sit in behind Swan as the second highest scoring forward of the year?
Yeah, I think he will. He's definitely in my top three first selections, Goddard.
100%.
That is just a walk-up. His percentage of being picked is going to go back through the roof again this year after a slow year last year.
It's a gift. We've been handed a gift, let's be honest. Now, a couple of ones I've got a little issue. Dog, you're the man to ask right here. Tom Bell Chambers is as cheap as chips this year and can be selected as a ruck or a forward. But who will be the number one ruck? Will it be Bell Chambers or Giles on the back of the departure of Ryder?
You know, Bell Chambers had injury issues, form issues, all that sort of stuff. Ryder's gone. It's going to be one of those two. Giles is coming in. Giles, we loved. Remember when GWS had their first year and he was a lock and load for us? And he was brilliant. I think he can average quite well. I think they're going to give Bell Chambers the first crack at it, though.
Yep.
That's my worry. And while both of them are actually cheap as well, Giles is fairly cheap too, but with what he could possibly pump out. But I think Bell Chambers with that ruck forward status, that's quite handy if you wanted to... throw something around with that.
Is he too much money at 281 to be riding the pine behind Lundberger and Cruiser?
See, that's a good call, and I like that, because if you are throwing that around, there's not many rucks that are bargain basement price this year.
No. You guys mustn't be paying for Rockliffe, then, if you're talking about loading up the bench at this sort
of thing. I don't know. I don't think I would ever go with anyone over 200 grand on my bench, ever. Probably 150 even. Mm. But, so it could be a good call. I don't know.
What about... Well, I know what you were like after the trade period and the draft. Everything points at Adam Cooney. That's all I was hearing about. Cooney.
Brownlow medalist. You don't often pick up a Brownlow medalist.
From 1964.
And you didn't used to be that complimentary of his Brownlow either. And
now all
of a sudden it's Cooney, the Brownlow medalist.
Oh, yes.
Is he potentially worth picking up? His best fantasy season was only a couple of years ago.
Yep.
He reckons Hurdy's looking after him. His knee's feeling all right. Is he worth it with that forward eligibility?
He is cheap. He's cheaper than what his best is. Obviously getting on in age, but aren't we all?
It's only 31, though, or something, isn't it?
Yeah, he's not 30, too bad. 31. Yeah, so I don't know. I think that he's cheap enough to do, but my issue is that there are too many other forward options there at the moment. If we weren't blessed with all those big gun forward mids, because at this stage, my structure's loading up there with those guys and then going cheap. So that sort of guns and rookies strategy. However, you're going to make some coin out of him, and he should be able to do pretty well. I do worry about Bombers' early start, though. They've got some pretty tough games in the first few rounds. But, he's on a watch list. If he can be looking like he can do some, midfield time, I might be able to squeeze him, but I don't think that's going to really
happen. That's the group he's training with.
In the midfield, though, think about Dyson Heppel. He's going to be an out-and-out fantasy stud for us over the next few years. So if you wanted a point of difference, because I don't reckon many people will pick him, especially he's over 600 grand. But
it's awkward.
He has increased his average by 10 points over the last few years. He probably won't do that again, but geez, he's 110 plus, not out of the question.
Well, you've heard it here first. Warney's picking everyone from Essendon.
Oh, you know who I am picking? My number one pick.
Hibbard.
Yes.
Wow. Didn't I hear about Hibbard last year?
We talk about guys like at the defence.
We don't stop talking about
Essendon. See you later. We've lost all these guns that are defenders. He is going to be a top six defender. You might as well start with him because his standard deviation, do you know what that is, Calvin?
Numbers.
He's just so consistent.
It's amazing.
It is very, very good. So I am definitely starting with Hibbo. Are you blokes?
Well, if I can afford him, yes, I definitely will. I like his consistency.
I'm going to get in your ear.
The Fremantle Dockers. We haven't got a whole lot to look at from the Dockers this year. And it's not because I'm a Dockers hater, because I'm not, but I sometimes get accused of not liking interstate clubs.
And that's Port Adelaide.
Yeah, that's right.
You just don't like any of the new interstate clubs, do you, Roy?
Oh, well, I do. It's unfair that I'm tarnished with that brush. But anyway, there are the obvious ones. Nat Fyfe, I think, can elevate his game to the next level, leaving mm-hmm. him slightly underpriced at the moment. We all know what Michael Barlow is, fantasy royalty, and he got his average over that magical 110 number last year. But I'm going to throw one at you that you probably haven't got on your watch list at the moment, but I want you to just have a quick look at. Lachie Neal, 466 he's priced at. Okay, he averaged 82.
Yep.
Now, in his last four games, if you include finals, he averaged 109.
Mm.
How's that for just a bit of writing on the wall, giving you a hint at a potential breakout?
I've had him in elite before, yeah. And I've been very happy with what he can produce. Mm. A little bit up and down, I guess, with maturity,
yep.
He can probably find that consistency. But if he can average 109 over a period of a month or so, that's pretty good.
It is, especially in the heat of finals.
Yep.
So
yep.
There was obviously, I don't know, something clicked, or his role was to go and get a bit more of the ball. I don't know what it was specifically, but you need to look at those numbers. And if they don't catch your eye, I don't think you're going to go very well in fantasy this year.
Now, who are the bargains?
Oh, no.
I'm excited. There's a couple of former Warn Dogs here at Fremantle. Oh. That are a chance to renew a contract or two, even being on a never again list. They might even come back. First one's going to be Garrick Ibbotson, back in defence. I'm looking for value back there.
Big time.
336K he's looking at. He averaged 92 a couple of years ago, so he can play. He's good fantasy.
Oh, 100%.
But yeah, so he's a cheap one. I don't know. We're okay with that one?
Yeah, I'm okay with you calling that as a cheap option, as someone to look at and watch.
Yeah, agreed. I need all the cheap options I can find at the moment.
What about one in the forward line?
Look, we all know where you're going. Just
Colin Sylvia,
up.
Oh, $163,000.
Another year, the same joke.
But he's not joking. That's the worst thing.
He's training all right, I think. I haven't heard him train the house down for him yet. No, actually, I think he got a little bit injured before Christmas, but he'll be right.
All right, what about him?
Well, he's 163 grand. If you want to stack that forward line with some of those really expensive mid forwards, you're going to need some cheap guys to sit next to him as well. And Colin Sylvia might tick that box. I have a little bit of love for Colin.
Do you?
Yeah, and he's been a good player in the past.
Well, he averaged 90.
Yes.
For 3 years in a row.
Yes.
I rest my case.
Geelong. About time we moved away from the chat about Colin Sylvia, because if you're looking at a forward option, I will give you one 20 times better than Colin Sylvia by the name of Mitch Clark, and he is slightly cheaper.
He is unbelievable value. I think Mitch Clark will find himself starting on many grounds to save a little bit of money.
Yep.
You much prefer to just, you know, obviously there's some things we don't know, like what his role is going to be, how fit he is, etc. But he will start round one. And wouldn't you prefer having him sitting there on your ground as opposed to some rookie who's never played?
Or Colin.
Yeah, exactly.
They've come out. He's training pretty well.
Yep.
Again. Oh, this is a broken
common
record.
Trend.
No, anyway, he's doing all the right things. Coach has come out and said this week or a couple of weeks ago about the fact that he is looking good for round one, and he's in the plans apparently.
Right.
So that's got to be all the at this stage of the season. We are still
a bit out from the
NAB Cup, so NAB Challenge. Sorry.
Now, if you are looking to save money,
Will he be in more teams than Swan?
No.
Okay.
Right. If you are looking to save money and you are going to use him as like the last forward on your field, what are we expecting him to average?
I think in the 70s. Is a stretch.
So when he
60
came to
70 odd, I reckon 65 is about the number.
Nah, he'll be better than that.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Well, 65 would be enough to make you a fair bit of cash price at that. So 100%. If he can be better than that, well,
I
then he's
he
getting
can.
Towards someone that can be in your side for quite a long time, I reckon.
Now, if you don't want to pay big bucks for Rocky, sorry about that, Roy, cover your ears, you can always save an absolute packet by getting on the guy who averaged the highest, not like what Rocky did, nothing in that ballpark.
No, correct. Not like what Rocky did.
Steve Johnson.
The 2013 hero.
He's still quite cheap considering what he can do.
Oh, for sure.
Well, based on potential, yeah, he is underpriced.
He is, and he can get those. He has those pig tendencies. Not sure if we'll ever give him a pig status because consistency and suspensions and all those headaches.
He's on the pig radar.
I tell you what, you give me a lot of crap about loving Tom Rockliffe too much. It goes unnoticed. your thing for Steve Johnson.
I do love
you.
Steve.
Always sticking up for Steve.
I always stick up for him. Always.
Except last year, remember when things turned sour?
Yes.
Year started, Calvin, every weekend. Why wouldn't you have him?
Why wouldn't you have him?
And then when it turned, oh my goodness.
And then he was angry that people didn't pick him and he was stuck with him.
It did turn
What's
quickly,
this show
it?
Turned into?
Oh, sorry, keep going.
What's your turn this year,
good or something? Tell
he scored 168, 153 and 145 last year.
Don't worry, you told us about that when it happened.
They are big games. He had two rotters against Crowley.
Oh, didn't he?
Doesn't he just get towed up in
Man,
games
Man, I enjoyed
him.
Those too.
Yeah, stay away. No captain in that game.
The Gold Coast Suns, it is time for them. And let's start where I think everyone would when they think about them. And that's with Gary Ablett. So he is the second most expensive player in the comp. There's not much we need to really say about him. I think everyone knows he's a fantasy legend.
Yet to royalty. Gain pig status.
Can he do it, Calvin?
I think he has to at some point throughout his career. Well, what more does he need to do?
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Is he too good though? Like, is he?
I think that's a thing.
Is he too classy?
Got a bit of you know, what Gary is. Gary's a step above that almost with the class that he plays with.
But Swanee's a Brownlow medalist.
I disagree with this. You look at the way he runs around for hands.
Oh yes, okay.
Yep. That is just pig. Oink oink all the way. Yeah, he definitely deserves to be on the shortlist.
Yep.
A nomination, hopefully in the early rounds, and I've got a good feeling for him.
All right, so Ablett is priced at $675,000. A fair bit less, well, almost 100 grand less than Rocky. Geez, and it's unbelievable to think of that. He's actually priced at the second highest price that he ever has been.
Yeah, right.
Only 1 year that he's averaged more than what he did last year, and that was a bit more. It was 124 or so, I think.
Yep.
But he's obviously an absolute star. He hurt his shoulder last year, which he's still recovering from.
Mm.
Ran a PB last week or so that I did see pop up on AFL.com. He must be training the house. However, he did tweet out there that he is, well, this is a little bit of a worry, not starting physical contact until the end of February.
Oh, Gaz doesn't get very physical at the
best. He probably doesn't, actually.
No. So he'll be right. If he's running fast, good luck to the Tigers keeping up with him.
He's still a lock.
Now, I've got something exciting about Gary for you. In the last four games before he got injured, he really started to put his foot down. He wanted to carry that team into the finals. 140 he averaged for a month leading up to that injury.
Huge.
So, I mean, you will obviously all start with him.
He's in my team at this stage.
Yeah,
yes.
If
you're not going Rocky, I think you have to go Gaz for your captain option.
Definitely.
I'm going to have a luxury of having to pick between the two of them from week to week.
Horses for courses.
Now, I'll tell you something else. We just spoke about whether Gary starts a year or not, whether we pick him. I'll tell you who else that may affect your decision on. Dion Prestia.
Oh, yeah.
When Ablett is playing, Dion Prestia is amazing. When Ablett's not there, he tends to get the tag and it brings his numbers right down. But when Ablett is there, so I'll give you an example, between rounds 10 and 14, Prestia averaged 125 playing alongside Gaz.
It's pretty good.
That's got to put him on the radar. That's, once again, another word we're overusing, but that's underpriced based on that if Gary is playing. Yeah.
Now, another guy underpriced. Now, I don't know if he'd actually go with him, but Jack Martin. Look, it's his second year now. Last year, he came in mega, mega hyped up as the next big thing. Some people were even saying he's going to be better than Jagger O'Meara.
Mm.
Well, that didn't happen. He only averaged 50, injured, didn't have a very good one. Now, he's a really cheap forward, 285, maybe a player that you could have as your last forward there, but...
It's an interesting
thing.
It's
a tough one.
It's just that line. The forwards are just going to be unbelievable to pick, and we might see a fair bit of variety there with what people choose to do.
Because I like that. I think he is going to make you a lot of money if you can squeeze that into your initial salary cap. I don't think I've ever heard that before, but I believe it's the Giants. So we just have a look at that. Yeah, thanks.
Comedian.
Yeah, cheers. Now, someone I want to look at, a former member of Destroy, Toby Green.
Mm.
Now, we have spoken a lot in the recent teams about pigs. This guy is a potential pig in the making in the next couple of years. I'll tell you why. One, because he plays like a pig. And two, because he averaged 124 in the last seven matches of 2014. So for a price of 583, that makes him someone that could take himself to the elite premium category. So he could be an absolute bargain.
Yep.
Definitely. And that's the thing with him. He's just capable of those big scores. And I think that's what we all want with our teams. Consistency is a good thing. But then again, we want to pick a guy that is a potential to get those big scores and play on with them.
Now, he's someone that did suffer second year blues badly. Yep. And he was
played
getting
in defense a bit as well.
And he was, because they put him down there because he was getting tagged and he could not handle it. So is he still someone that will be tagged? He's still that mega magnet. But are there people in front of him to get tagged?
A couple. I think that probably Adam Treloar might be a chance for that. But also Ryan Griffin. So he was their big boom recruit of the off-season with all of the trade week stuff.
Ward still gets...
Yep, he gets that. But yeah, like I think those guys there are probably ahead of him because of the way they play.
Definitely.
See, I think Green's, he racks them up. And doesn't always have to...
He doesn't use the ball that well.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that argument. Swanee doesn't get a tag.
No, because Swanee just hacks it and chases it.
Exactly.
That's all you got to do.
That's what you want in a fantasy
That's all
pig.
We want. That's all we want. Now, another guy here. Look, we're talking about loading up our forward lines. What about Devin Smith at an average of 94? Obviously, you're paying top dollar for him. Can he go bigger?
I think that's about where he is. Yeah. Like, I honestly do, and I would love to have him because it's nice to have those sort of little guys.
Is he a top six?
Well, based on those numbers,
he's going to be very close.
Could be.
You know what I like? His age. He's the right age to now take his average over 100.
Yep.
I think he's really, really good, really got to be on your radar.
Another four that you could pick up there, Josh Kelly. He's named as a forward bin. Now, he was taken at pick two a couple of years ago in the draft. And so he's got to have a fair bit of game about him. He did have some nice scores towards the end of the season. Last three, it was 140, 118, 83. His price is down because of a few vests. So that's at $395,000. That's cheap for what he's capable of doing. Don't know if that gets him right up there in the top echelon, Roy.
Now, good word.
You like that one,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, I do. Now, you spoke about the attack giant earlier.
Yes, the former attack dog.
Yeah.
Now he's an attack
so
giant.
What do you reckon? He's underpriced.
Yes, and I think I tricked and told a few people to pick him up last year, and that's not very nice. He averaged 100.
Very nice.
Well, it wasn't.
You shouldn't do it.
I was going to do it, but then
you know what? He gets in that mindset of just, he just wants, he'll do anything to improve his ranking.
I'm competing against everyone else as well. You've got to remember that. He averaged 106 back in 2013, and he dropped 20 points last year. So any player that has averaged over a ton the previous year and dropped 20 points, you must consider.
Got to be considered.
Have to consider. Like, without even, you know, people might write him off or whatever. If he can get to that 100, not even the 106, then he's making you a heap of cash.
Hawthorn, the old Tassie Hawks, the reigning premiers. Now, let's kick it off with someone who is a very cheap option, and I think a lot of teams are going to be having him in the back line, and that would be Brendan Whitecross at $258,000. He's averaged 88 before. Can he do it again?
Of course he can. I love Whitey.
Yeah.
As soon as Whitey is fit to play, Whitey comes into my team. So, yes, I'll definitely be starting with him if he is ready to go.
I just hope that he's in their best 22. Now, that's controversial opinion from
Very
some
controversial.
People. But they're a premiership side.
How many times do I have to tell you about this?
I know. However, he's had two knee recos. That's
Correct.
Pretty big.
Correct.
And he's will they nurse him a bit? They've brought in Frawley, blah, 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 blah. Yes, he's a lock. $258,000 is very cheap
very
and all
cheap.
That. However, I think we might need to just be a little bit careful in thinking that he's going to be an 88 average.
Well, he's not going to average 88. It'll be in the 80s, though.
Yeah, 70s probably.
But if he can,
but
look, even if,
that's
that
still
that
cheap, obviously.
Even if he's 75, we're going to take it.
Look, oh, without a doubt.
Now, you've got a little bit of a man crush on this boy, Roy. He absolutely smashed it last year, Jordan Lewis.
Oh, I certainly do. You know, I don't know if I get tricked. It's probably a good thing to look at. But I love anyone that has come home like a steam train, which then makes me think I'm getting a bargain when I pay full price for them. Because Jordan Lewis at 110, that is expensive. But he averaged, it would have been about 130 or so in his last six games.
Huge.
That's so huge.
Yeah.
Now, of course, also they've got there the most expensive defender that you can get is Luke Hodge. You're paying top dollar for him. I don't know if many people actually get a start with him. They need to probably look for value in the back line and look to upgrade to him at some point as the year goes on.
Well, you're going
to
need him at the end of the season because 100%. He's going to be probably the best defender behind Hibbo. But you might...
So he's still doing it.
Yeah. We always worry about Hodgie's durability, but it's not actually that bad, is it?
No, he pumps them out. He's good. He's just so hard at it that I guess you worry about him a little bit as well. That's the thing.
You can't enjoy Friday night footy if Hodgie's backing back into packs.
A little bit of value there, a bit of almost a rookie price player that's worth having a look at. Alex Woodward. He spent a lot of time in the VFL last year, ended up winning the best on medal, Brownlow of the VFL, the Liston medal. He averaged 23 touches back there. So, you know, he will add to his games, you'd think, this year. Hawthorn are pretty good at guys doing their time, I suppose. Yep. You know, they don't throw heaps out there in their first year and stuff like that. So he might be a bit of a chance to sneak in there. So he's probably a NAB Challenge watch. Melbourne Football Club is next on our agenda, boys. And there's a few guys there that are worth considering. A few cheap guys. I think that's probably where we're looking at for them. We're not going to find our big premium options from them, I think, at this stage. So let's have a look at a couple of those cheap guys. I'm a big fan of Ben Newton at the moment. $192,000 mid. There was an article last week about him. He's hoping to play every game this year, which I think everyone would be going this season. But he's a pretty good chance, I would say. He came from Port Adelaide, played in the Sandful last year. 16 games, 98-point average across those back
there.
So he's a magnet. So hopefully he gets an opportunity.
Look, he played four games for Port, and he was vested in three of them.
Yeah.
So he's massively...
That's why his price is down.
Mega. Everyone's going to be jumping on him. Jesse Hogan's also another one. He's a forward. Look, you can get him a fair bit cheaper than what he was because he didn't actually play a game last year and did very well in the VFL.
Petraka, he was good as a kid.
Yep. 99 average.
He'll get games, that price tag, that's a worry, 297.
It is, and that's, you know, it's a tough one. It's why we need to question these guys. It's not just a walk-up. If he was priced, like it was a few years ago, as the cheapest guy, everyone would be all over him for that. But now, I think it's still value. At $297,000, a guy that averaged 99 points in the under-18 championships, I think he's still value. So he's a worthy selection, especially with that forward mid status.
Now, what about Lumumba?
Now, that's Warnie's boy.
Yeah.
Warnie loves him.
I do like him. And watched a video on the Melbourne website the other day.
Yeah.
Guess what it talked about with him?
Playing in the midfield?
Yes.
No.
And I got excited. So
he would be good on a wing or something, I reckon.
I think he will. And that's the sort of role that he'll play. He did it for Collingwood. They're going to need him... Older, bigger body, all that sort of stuff. He will arch his back, and I'm sure that he will improve on his average because it is lower than what it was last
year. Well, 71, and he has averaged 88 in the past. So it can be around the 80 mark. He is value for money.
Definitely.
That song just makes me think of Friday night footy with big Duck Carey walking off the ground, proud as punch after snagging five goals and taking 20 marks. But he is not an option this year, even though
sadly
Brent Harvey was probably there behind him somewhere. He would have been there back in those days as well.
45 years ago.
Yeah, Harvey, I'll tell you what though, he's still getting it done. 565, mid-forward.
The most expensive.
Yeah, every year we say he's too old, but then he goes out there and absolutely smashes it. I think you had him for a while last year.
Oh, yeah, when he was sliding, Roy, yes.
Yeah. Now, Todd Goldstein for them, $496. If you're keen for a set and forget, I guess he has to be considered, doesn't he?
Oh, definitely. And he's one of the guys that probably is pretty safe for a high 80s, although you might... disagree with that, Roy, after a preliminary final a couple of years ago against me.
Yes, we don't talk about that, Warn Dog. Every year I say we don't talk about that, and you keep bringing it up. But yeah, I hate Todd Goldstein, so no, I won't be picking him.
G'day, Todd, if you're listening.
Yeah, he should be considered because he is quite a good player. Jack Zeeble, he's due for, to take his game to the next level, isn't he?
He's been due for a very long time, I might add. Very long time.
So yeah, that's a no from you?
It's a watch for me.
Because, as a forward, once again, gee, we've got a lot of mid-forwards that we can throw.
Yeah. I think there's probably safer options, but it would not surprise me if he's in that mix for that sixth best.
As the year progresses. Yeah.
All right, one quick one to finish with. Trent Dumont could be a cheap player for us in the future. 120 grand midfielder. Taken pick 30 in the 2013 draft. Now, he played last year with North Ballarat. Hasn't played a game yet. Averaged 107 points in the VFL. So that's a pretty massive number. Lots of potential. NAB Challenge Watch.
Who's this?
Hang on.
Who's it?
Big
Wait
intro.
For it.
Ah! Roy's shaking his head and saying, no, we're not going to cover Port Adelaide.
I'm popping along to
it. You are not. He said to me earlier that he didn't want to cover Port Adelaide.
Power to win.
Right.
Never give in.
Sorry. Right. Now, to be honest, in your defence, Roy, there isn't actually very many Port Adelaide options this year.
I beg to differ. There's a few really good players there.
There's a lot of good players, but the only one as far as value goes, he's probably dropped nearly 10 points after his All-Australian year, would be Chad Wingard, and he's solely a forward this year. Someone we would consider. No, you wouldn't. Not with the talent that we've got this year. You just can't.
I think he can improve.
He can improve, but he's not at the likes of
the excessive
other guys
we've amount
got.
Of talent is the only thing that potentially keeping him out of my team. I'm a massive fan of him. I would love to have him in. I would love to have him in.
He is
someone I'll definitely consider.
He's still very young. Yeah. Consistency will improve.
And yeah. Robbie Gray, he went up 24 points last year, but could you do it again? Priced at an average of 96.
Only if it's a real set and forget and you're just happy with him to score that sort
will
of
he go better than his 96?
He could
potentially
buy a couple of points.
He
could. Yeah.
Well, he had a pretty good end to the season, didn't he? Like, I think he averaged 117 across the last month or so. Shows you that he does have that massive fantasy
He's
game.
He's a magnet. Yeah.
I don't know. Risky for me, though, because last year was his breakout year, and we were pretty excited about him in years before because we'd seen some good scores, but there's always
Did you guys
injury
have him
or form.
Last year?
I didn't end up with him at all last year, which is disappointing.
I didn't need him, Roy, because you had him and I heard enough about him.
I know. I apologise for that. But far out, of course, we'd loved him for so many years and he was finally getting it done. It was just so good to have him.
Well, last year we probably missed Ollie Wines, actually, who boosted his average from 74 to 91. Can he go bigger than that?
Definitely. He can average 100 this year. Now, do we call that a breakout, or is that like a mini breakout? I think it's a teaser for what he could do. He could go 105.
Definitely. I think that he could. He's a gun. Magnet. Big thighs. He can kick the ball pretty well. He can definitely improve.
Well, look, I'll give you a stat. In his last five games, he actually averaged under 70.
What?
So where some players come home like a steam train, he sort of turned into the little red caboose that
tell you what, though,
chuffing up the
hill.
If
he still averaged 91 doing that,
exactly.
He must have pumped out some big ones during the year.
The best song, I reckon, in the AFL.
It's up there,
it'd have to be. Yes. And sadly, we won't hear the yellow one back. But anyway, let's get into the Tigers. And let's look at a bit of forward mid action. And there is a fair bit of forward mid action going on there, especially with a new guy that has gained forward status. And that is Brett Deledio. He struggled a little bit last year. Wasn't at his best. Therefore, he's a bit cheaper. Spent a fair bit of time forward. Are we all locking him in from the get-go?
I think so. Well, it sounds like I'm locking in every expensive player here at the moment, but it's hard not to. He's just too good.
Yep.
I'd be very interested to look at, say, Richmond's draw early on and work out whether or not he's going to benefit from that and whether you're going to get bang for your buck first up, or do you need to wait and actually see if he's going to drop a bit. But
it's interesting. He started the season slowly last year, but he did come home like a freight train. 109.5 average, which is up there with his best. So if he can be anywhere near that, that's a huge improvement. And at that price, you're almost getting him as a steal. So, yeah.
Did you take him over Dusty?
Well, he's the other one that is the forward mid. He is only $5,000 cheaper. He's $5,000 cheaper, but that $5,000 could go a long way. Who knows? But yeah, I think Dusty, I'm actually looking at both of them in my side at the start of the year because I think the two will certainly be in the top six for me at the end of the season.
Cochin, he was a frustration machine last year. But always when is, he was Roy. On, he was on, though.
Yeah, exactly. He is so frustrating.
Do you pick him as one of your starting premiums? I'll pass. I did it last year. I was just getting too frustrated.
Yeah, there's a lot of time. Yeah, you do get frustrated. I think that's, at the end of the day, the biggest thing for that. You do get frustrated with what he does. He's no doubt a great player and is in that mix to be in that top eight, I think. I think can probably improve a little bit on his output from last year. But, yeah, jury's out for me. Yeah.
And just another guy, probably another option maybe for this last spot in our forward line, Chris Knights, one of our former boys, Roy.
Blast.
Former 2001 called.
Former Crow. Look, he's certainly one to watch in the NAB. He might be getting more midfield time too.
He won't get another game with the Tigers.
What?
Knights.
Oh, there was a pre-season article.
Was it really? Now, Jack Nunes is a bit of a buzz name this AFL fantasy pre-season for the Saints, and I like it because apart from, well, we've mentioned Hodge and a couple of other defenders, we have been quite starved of mentioning good defenders that you'd be interested in, and especially ones capable of averaging over 90 and ones that provide some value. And I think Nunes, who is defender mid, is definitely someone to watch.
Has to be in the mix, I think. He's priced at about 82 points, but he did have an average of 94 over the last six games. That's thanks to him averaging 22 touches and 8 marks. So that's great for any sort of fantasy player. So I think that has to be in the mix. And again, because of the lack of defenders, let's have him as an option.
He's underpriced and will be a top defender by the end of the year. So he's definitely one you need to jump on. Look, another one there, another cheap forward. Geez, I'm hunting these cheap forwards. Tim Membry. Mm. Now, this former Swan, he played one game last year. He was a little tattoo guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I think he wasn't that little.
No,
he looked really good.
Like a tank, actually.
Looked really good running up and down the wing. He ended up getting subbed out, I think. But yeah, he's a really good option. Move to another club for more opportunities.
Opportunity.
And that's what we look for. That's one of the key categories of an underpriced player.
So chucking him on your bench. Opportunity. Cheap, 165 on your pine, you can't go wrong.
And in your midfield, let's have a look at Blake Akers. He played three games last year for the Saints, and he wore the vest in two of them. So he presents like as a pretty good cheap option, I would say, if he's injury-free, which I think he is at this stage. So he's definitely another one. NAB Challenge Watch.
Ah, the Sydney Swans. And if you're talking Sydney Swans, you are talking Lance Franklin. Are we going to sit him next to Goddard, Dusty, Delidio, and of course Swan? Are we going to load him in there as well?
I don't know if you can when, like, there's two key forwards there. When Tippett's fit, he's going to be playing alongside Tippett. Who do you kick to? I don't know.
I've got a stat for you, Roy. It does not dry up his points at all. Now, last year when Tippett and Buddy played alongside each other, Buddy averaged 23 points more than when Tippett was away.
That's an impressive stat. No wonder you asked me to ask that question.
Jeez, that is amazing. That was very flawless. No one would have even picked up on that.
No, they didn't.
So, wow. No, seriously, though. You actually have to pick him up, don't you?
I think you do. Look, he's priced at 95 and could easily get that over triple figures.
Definitely. What about in the midfield? How about Josh Kennedy? Gun. He's a gun. Fantasy gun. Average 110, like you're getting what you get with him, I suppose. Yeah. Would you consider him, or is he a lock? Or?
Well, he was averaging 110, I'll give you that, until he scored 16 in his last home and away game before he got vested. It actually dropped it down to 105, so he's cheap.
Well, that is once again providing some value there, so he's slightly discounted.
What's that, a 5-point, 4-point?
Yeah.
5-point, yeah, I'd take that. I like in the midfield, if you're looking for one of their draftees, the academy boy, Isaac Heaney, he is a bit of a gun. Like, he averaged 120 in the NEAFL, Calvin.
Yep.
Not the NEAFL, as you like to call it. And he won. And he was sort of the medalist in the Div 2 for the NAB Under-18 Championships. 246, a few dollars on him. But if he can be given the opportunity, and I've been reading lots of preseason articles, and Horse is pretty happy with him, so he might be a one to watch. Is this High Five or the Wiggles or something?
MC Hammer.
Nickelback.
It's the Eagles!
It is the Eagles, and they are flying high, and there might be a few of them worth considering for our fantasy teams this year. Let's have... Straight off the top, let's go with the Brownlow medalist, Matthew Prittis. Had his pretty much his fantasy breakout season last year. Absolute star. We saw some nice games where he scored over 140 a few times. He was just a machine. Tackles hard, etc., etc., etc. Are we fans?
No, not for that dollar. I'm not paying
$611,000 you'll pay for Prittis this year.
Too much.
Yeah, it is too much, which is unfortunate because he is an absolute gun. Did you know one of those games he actually laid 18 tackles?
Wow.
That's 72 points just in tackles.
Great maths, Roy.
Good work.
Thanks. That was off the top of my head. Excuse me if it was incorrect.
Calvin, can I throw a name at you that might bring you some nightmares from last season? Scott Selwood at... Well, Scott Selwood to start with, before I say his price. What are your thoughts on him? Never again?
You're sweating.
Are you deliberately not saying anything so you don't get booted off air?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Scott Selwood, he comes in at 459. That's because he dropped 27 points.
I can tell you that.
What about the stat leading into last year? Yeah. Didn't he improve 10 points a year?
Yeah, every year.
What a gun.
Yeah, so basically that means he's dropped 37 points.
Oh wow. No.
So what a bargain that he is. Are you thinking about him at all, Calvin?
I never think about him after last year, Warnie.
Why not? Because he is offering a heap of value.
Look, burn me once. Shame on you. Burn me twice. Shame on me. Wise men have told me this over the years.
It is so true. But Warnie and I will probably jump on him and he'll burn you three times by going awesome. The thing is with him, he obviously, role had a bit to do with it, but he had tagged players in the past and still scored well.
Definitely.
I don't know. Was he underdone? Was he a bit injured?
Sausage roll.
The numbers, if you look purely based on numbers, he is unbelievable value because he is someone that has been that elite premium status before. That good.
No, still
not interested.
Still not interested.
There is someone, though, that you are interested in, Calvin. You've been singing his praises all preseason. I've read some articles about him training well, too. Who would that be? Bo Waters.
Oh, my mate. Oh, Bosef. He's back. Oh,
yeah, I know. But guess what? He is actually struggling a bit this preseason with relapses in that shoulder injury, I believe.
Yeah. Damn. I think he'll be there, though.
If he's there at the start, round one, so you think he will be one?
I think he will be.
Well, I'll definitely start with him. If he is playing, I will start with
another cheap back on option for us, of course. And he's averaged over 85 on multiple occasions. So, yeah, loading up your back line with those value players looks like the way to go.
That set and forget ruck strategy. Is Nick Nat good enough to set and forget? Because he's underpriced considering he averaged 90 the last 2 years when Cox wasn't there.
See, that's a nice stat. I like that. And I've always had worries about Nick Nat. He's not going to be a premium elite fantasy ruck, but those numbers make it look like it. And you're getting him for value, obviously, because he is $413,000.
It would be nice just to have Nick Nat running around for you.
Definitely.
The Western Bulldogs. Everyone's got a soft spot for the Bulldogs. And there are a couple of people putting their hand up for your fantasy teams this year. The person I'm looking at, purely because they are an absolute bargain, Tom Boyd is priced at $800,000 less than he's actually getting paid this year. So, what? How about that for a stat? He's $192,000. He's going to be the number one target up forward.
Yep.
All the ball will be going through him. He will even accidentally score more than he was scoring last year because he did not manage to get to 50 on one occasion last year. He will do that this year without even knowing it.
Yep. Really? He played 9 games last year and couldn't get to 50.
He might not. I'm not sure. Will he still go up if he averages 45?
Yes, he will.
Slightly.
So he is priced cheap enough to be able to call it. If he averages 45, he will be making some money.
On a serious note, I would love to have him sitting on my forward bench.
Agreed.
Yep.
Even if you click emergency on him, there's going to be a game where he kicks 4 or 5 goals and he'll yeah.
The thing that we've got to remember about stuff, like, we don't always get cheap players that are going to play. He's a cheap player and he's going to play.
Heartbeat.
He's a heartbeat there for you. So I think at this stage, he's sitting on my forward bench because I'm very confident that he's going to be playing round one. A guy that will be playing round one and will be looking to back up a massive breakout season is Jack McRae. How about that? He increased his average by 40 points last year.
I think we can classify that as a breakout.
Oh, I would say so, right? A very big breakout. Big fan of him. He had 6 scores over 120. He looked really good. And I think it was against Gold Coast, and he just went ballistic. He just went nuts against them. And he had games where I think he started in the green vest.
Yes.
Came on. First and had Geelong, like, I think. 60, 70 in less than a half. Yeah.
He's amazing.
He can rack it.
He's not like a David Warner. He doesn't just get to the 100 and call it quits. He just goes and goes and goes. He's amazing.
Well, if you're talking David Warner, then you could call this guy Scott Watson. Is that his name?
Scott Watson.
What's his name? Shane. Cheerio to Scott Watson out there.
Oh, my God, Calvin.
Libba has the last couple of seasons, he's averaged high 90s, right?
Gets out in the 90s.
Gets out in the 90s. That was the point I was trying to get at.
Right, okay.
She's got to think about the joke. Scott Watson. All right, now, Griffin and Cooney have gone.
Yeah.
Is Libba going to be better, or is he just going to be tagged more?
He struggled when Griffin wasn't in the team last year, and that was, you could really see that, cop that. But surely as he matures, as he gets through, he's going to be better than that. I think he's going to be over 100 average.
I remember when we spoke about him at the start of last year, the label of untaggable was there because he won in and under. Yep. He's amazing. But then they were also talking about him being quite explosive out of packs and stuff like that. Last year, I think that label, we'd have to can it, wouldn't we?
100%.
Yeah.
He definitely got stitched up a few times, and as I was an owner,
I'm definitely but still staying
laid,
away then.
Still laid plenty of tackles himself, though.
I was a very passionate owner, Roy.
Yeah.
So basically, out of the Bulldogs here, the only guy that we're actually sort of putting a little tick or a watch mark against would be Boyd.
Yeah. Matthew Boyd, Calvin, with your old man team. The thumping pot is over, boys. That was a massive one. I don't think we've gone for that long ever.
It had to go for that long because there's a lot of names that need to be on our radar this preseason.
Hopefully that's given you some guys to think about as you get ready for, the season, which isn't that far away. NAB Challenge is just around the corner. Calvin, what are some of your tips for people to do over these next couple of weeks towards the NAB Challenge?
Just have a bit of pen and a bit of paper handy.
Yeah.
Jot down a few things that you might be reading, and best place to go to, of course, is the afl.com.au website, dog.
You can find out who's training the house down.
You can, and who's getting more midfield time.
Exactly, and that's all you need to know as a fantasy coach. We can follow us on Twitter, which you can get us at.
At AFL Fantasy.
And we will keep you up to date via there and everywhere else. We will see you again, or you will hear us or see us or something very, very soon. Thanks for listening.